Man, I gained 10 pounds eating the red and the green M&M's, bro. Chop it up today. How you brothers been for the week, man?
We've been good.
We can't ignore the ratings. I mean, this light skin thing is working for me.
And I heard it's going. It's going market. Where do we start?
Yo, what's up? Welcome back to Let's Chop It Up. Please follow, like us, and subscribe on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. And also comment, and we love to get back to you, the good, the bad, or the ugly comments. So, my brothers, it's been 2 weeks, but we did catch up with each other. But, Rod, how was your week, my man?
My week was great. The week before was even better. I want to give a shout out to our producer, Jammy, because he knows how to take some fellas out, man. We tore the town apart. You know, I want to say thank you, Jammy. I know I'm speaking for all of us. We had a really great time. And this week is good, too. My daughters, they're starting softball. Nice. Coach is trying to get me and my wife to participate in coaching. I'm on a limbo with that because my kids don't listen to me in here. So how are they going to listen to me on the field? You know, but other than that, everything is good. I had a pretty great last 2 weeks, and I did miss the audience, and we are back.
Yes. Listen, Rod, I will help you out that coaching if you get down with it. If you get down, I'll get down.
Yo, you going to make it out here to come coach?
I love baseball. I'll come for that. For you, so I would.
It's softball, same thing, but, you know.
Yeah, same thing.
I'm probably going to do it. I mean, if my wife does it, I'm probably going to do it. Because, I mean, my wife plays softball in college.
Yeah, it's going to be – but every time they lean on coaches, boy, they're going to have some work to do. Boy, they're going to run you crazy. All them kids.
And
Rod, don't smack no parents, man, please.
No. I remember, I'll be honest with you, I came close one time when I was coaching my son's football team. The parents are worse than the kids, man.
I
had a parent tell me one time that she wanted her son to play the position that my son was playing. So I said to her, what position is that? And she goes, the one where your son stands right there in the middle. And I said, I don't know. Which position is that? Because I'm trying to get her to see that she doesn't even know what the position is, but she wants her son to play. You know, it was unbelievable. And she was very persistent about it. And guess what? Her son did not play the position. He couldn't play the position. He was
some parents got to realize their kids are scrubs.
Yeah.
That's it. My son sucks. Go to violin, Junior. Yeah. You belong at violin.
Yeah.
Derek, how was your week, my brother?
Hey, man, my week was good. And, you know, and on that note, I had to come to a conclusion and acceptance that I do not have athletes. I just don't. Somebody got to answer the phone. Somebody got to talk to people. I got those. You know, I got thinkers. I do not have track stars. I don't have athletes.
You might have agents.
I might have agents, but I don't have athletes. But no, man, my last 2 weeks was good, man. My oldest son, I spent a lot of time with him. Glad that he made it back to base on time and all well. Miss them and whatnot. My other two, fantastic. They started little summer academies that they are in. You know, one's in music, one's in arts, and one's in engineering and STEM classes and such. So that just started. My wife is fantastic. She's as lovely as ever. And I'm just happy to be back. If you're watching this at home, you know, whatever, you know, I'm glad to see you here. I guess that means yours is pretty good too. You made it through July 4th in one piece and everything, and we're glad to have you here, man. My 4th was lit too, by the way, man. So yeah, you know, I hope everybody was great.
My man Kelvin's on a different location, look like he's in one of those black porno hotels.
I'm out here.
Yo, Kelvin, shake those curtains. I bet you the dust is gonna come off.
Yo, you right. I'm out here in Jersey. I'm near Air Force Base, and my nephew just got back from the Middle East, so I'm trying to see him tonight. So I came out to New Jersey, and yo, let me tell you something. When I tell you it's low budget out here, I mean it is low budget. I'm talking about it's bad up here. But yo, I'm just glad to be over here, man. I'm the last couple of weeks have been, as you know, in New York has been blazing. I mean, it's been blazing, like 100 degree heat index. The humidity has been crazy. But I concur with Rod. It's good to be back, and I had a good time with you fellas the other night. Hanging out, it was really, really cool. And we had an experience. There's a couple of things I want to say. So first of all, I don't want to say this to everybody. I'm not talking about any group in particular, just people that just happen to live in my neighborhood and be my complexion. I'm gonna say this. Stop with the fireworks, really. Yeah. Go read a book, do something else. Stop with the fireworks. We went out the other night. I get home 2 a.m. and I catch the late fireworks show. I don't even know how they be doing it in the rain. Like, it just don't even matter where they get fireworks. And out of all the fireworks they been setting up in New York, the New York State, New York City confiscated like 2 fireworks. So I let me volunteer to get somebody. But yo, it was good. It was good. And you know, it was interesting going out because we had a chance to see some of our sisters in the restaurant where we were at, and it's looking gray out here, y'all.
Yeah,
it's looking bad.
Nah, I mean, it's deeper than gray. The color is deeper than gray.
Yeah, it's looking bad. It's looking bad, and I don't know. Y'all don't let the white women take us over on TikTok because I don't know what happened to sisters the other night because we know we was wrong. We just got to do better as a people, okay? We just have to do better. But Dino, I'm not gonna let the enemy use me. But other than that, everything is good. D, how you feeling?
I'm good, man. I had an interesting week, man. My mother tried to go fly out to North Carolina to hang out with our family, then lay my Uncle Sambo, Jasper, to rest. But listen, American Airlines is the worst airlines. It's next to Spirit. It has become a Jamaican restaurant. Spirit is the worst. American Airlines is Jamaican restaurants of airlines. They cancel flights and don't have shit. They don't have no wings. They don't have no tires. They have no flight attendants. They canceled my mother's flight. They had no pilots. Like, the main thing about airline, you must have pilots. They postponed my mother's flight for another day, man. American Airlines is trash. I swear to God. And I can't. Jamie loves catching Spirit. I can't even talk junk about Spirit anymore. American Airlines is the worst airline. It's got to be next to Spirit Airlines right now. That's what, the fights are on and popping there. So, but we did get to hang out this weekend. Jamie, can you show something? The show that we was hanging out. A little clip of us hanging out. Yeah, we had a good time in Harlem. A lot of love up in Harlem.
Yeah.
But the fireworks you see was going on display. This guy had, like, I don't know where he got so many fireworks. I don't know if he worked for Macy's and stole that shit.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
He wouldn't stop. I mean, the guy was going all night, man.
All night.
I don't know where he had all those fireworks. He had more fireworks than the Army.
Yeah.
He's pulling them out of shoe, everything.
They act like they're helping. That's what killed me.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell his brother he wasn't, you know, putting on the show.
Yeah, it's like he designated himself to be the Macy fireworks of Harlem.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
But the thing is, he was shooting them off on the middle divider of one of the main streets in Harlem.
Lenox and 126.
Lenox and 126. Between 126 and 126.
Yeah.
I don't know. At just the time we were there, that guy must have shot off like about $500-$600 worth of fireworks.
And so I guess Harlem, we got downtown has the Macy's fireworks display.
Yeah.
In Harlem, he has the Dollar Tree fireworks display. So that's all I got related to.
But I promise you, there's somebody out there shooting fireworks who child support is behind. That's what
it probably was him. It probably was him.
But also shout out to Ricardo's for showing us good food and Corner Social for showing us good time.
Yeah.
My only thing is, for my man, Great Kelvin, is there's a lot of cosmetically challenged women that were left behind for the holiday. I don't know what it was. It was like, you know, brothers like to hang out. You know, brothers got relationships and all kind of stuff. A man like to have a little eye candy. I wanted to be blind that night we hung out.
Wow.
I was praying, somebody please pass me Stevie Wonder's shades. I didn't want to see nothing in that joint that night, brothers. It was bad, bro. Bad.
But you know what, D?
Yeah, you're going to hell
for that shit. I know, listen. My mother's the only person that probably loved my ugly face. But, god damn, I call a spade a spade. It was bad. Yeah. It was bad.
The thing is, also, too, you kind of got to add that some of the attire was severely inappropriate. The thing is, some people, and I'm not just talking about women. I saw like really overweight guys wearing skinny jeans too.
Yeah.
And you know, you got to dress for the body that you have, and not the body that you want. You know what I'm saying? Thing is, man, I'm not in the greatest shape of my life right now. But the bottom line is, I don't dress with skinny jeans, knowing that I'm overweight.
Yeah, no, I think that's the main thing, man. You just hit it right on the head, Rodney, man. Dress, you know, with what you have. You know what I mean? Put yourself together, man, and not, you know, be realistic. Have realistic goals. You know what I mean?
Everything.
You know, you see what you look like before you leave, man. Just make sure your clothes are fit, right? That you're okay, man. Just give yourself a once over. And I think that was a lot of that night too.
But you know what I think was a good thing, though? I think there was a lot of parity in there. And I think what happens is sometimes we you know, we're in a society that's obsessed with looks and beauty. It was a level playing field at that place the other day. I just want to say that. I think it was by design.
I think it was.
I think they just reversed it. Anybody attractive, any female, they was not letting in. And that's just it. It was just, you know what I'm saying? That's just because that was by design. It was a casting call going on. You know what I'm saying? So I want to shout out to Florida Evans and Whoopi Goldberg, to Wendy Williams, because that was your night. I mean, when I tell you, your biggest fans was there, and they represented. Right. So,
and you had to have animal print to get in.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a must. Right, animal print was a must.
Age appropriate clothes. That's right.
Now, there's nothing wrong with people being confident, resting, self-assured at all.
Man. Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Well, that's not what now, we were looking
see,
at. Man.
See, this the thing is, too. Like, some of these people don't realize they're being laughed at. You know what I'm saying? And then people are looking at them, and, you know, they're judging them, and they're looking at them because they're just not wearing an outfit that compliments them. You know what I'm saying? And that's pretty much what we're saying. We're not trying to down anybody's self-esteem. The thing is, some of that stuff we saw, I mean, where's your friends at? Your friends should have been saying, girl, you can't wear that.
And then maybe they're happy wearing it. That's cool. You have your confidence. But don't be mad when guys are not attracted to it.
Correct.
That's my problem. You can be confident all you want. And they say, well, these guys ain't hollering me. That's not what we like.
I really don't think anything is very confident about wearing half clothing and all that type of stuff. You know what I mean? You're middle-aged. You got clothing hanging off you, you know, or a little bit, not that much. You know, I don't think there's too much confidence about that. I think that if anything, it's the exact opposite. You know, it's almost like you're just going for shock value, or you're just completely covering something up, covering up some sort of insecurity or something. But that's just me. You know what I mean? I don't know. You know,
they also need an eyelash patrol. Somebody got to tell eyelashes down. God damn, man.
Yeah. Some ladies said their eyelashes were too heavy to the point where they would basically look like they were sleeping. But the thing is, one of the other things I noticed too is we're noticing a lot of girl groups and guy groups, couples are not going out together. I heard something on the news. They said that after COVID, relationships were down and childbirth is down. So that means people are not getting together anymore. So I don't know what's stemming from that. I would think that COVID would have made more babies because people were staying in. You were doing something to occupy your time, and I would figure people would probably get pregnant.
Yeah.
But they were saying that COVID brought childbirth down and relationships down.
I wonder if you could use the data on that to see if it's people practicing more safe sex, and that's what's not happening, or
you know. I think it's economic too. I think it's economic. I think a lot of people today are not, especially they're saying a lot of women are starting, I think, families 5 years later than they were 20 plus years ago. So that's one thing. And then now people, I think it used to be a time where people were driven by their careers. Now I think it's like a kind of the social media thing. I think people just want the freedom to just try to stay young as long as they can or something like that. So you don't see that. I mean, you mentioned marriage around certain women in their like late 20s, early 30s, and they look at you like you're crazy, like it's a disease or something in some cases. So I think that all has a lot to do with it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk to our topics. We're going to start off tonight with some politics. Democratic Cori Bush slams the 4th of July claims that black people still aren't free. Any thoughts, comments?
I mean, she's right about that. I mean, you know, you're still oppressed. You're still fighting an uphill battle. You know, it made me think about when Rodney was talking about how we, some people in our community celebrate St. Patrick's Day, where it has nothing to do with us. And, you know, I thought about that the other day. If the country, you know, unofficially or officially got liberated in 1776, we were still in slavery at that point. And so we were out here keeping me up at night, lighting firecrackers and stuff like that. I'm like, you know, what are we celebrating? You know, we're celebrating the country that was free to keep us oppressed, it seems like. So it seems like a strange irony. So I do agree with her. The only problem is if we took away every celebration regarding, you know, looking at how black people are treated, we wouldn't celebrate anything. We're just in a country where we are just always going to be considered those that have been disenfranchised and oppressed. So, but I understand her point. I think her point is well taken. It wasn't lost on me because this year, out of all years, I thought about it while we people out there in the streets celebrating. It really wasn't anything for us to celebrate historically.
Correct.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brandon.
No, she's just basically saying the 4th of July is about America's freedom. You know what I'm saying? It's not about, you know, which is basically white people's freedom. But they want to celebrate their history, but they don't like when we try to celebrate our history. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I kind of agree with her. I think that we still have a lot of oppression that we have to overcome. And there's got to definitely be a lot of changes that we have to make as far as ourselves, as far as understanding that.
Yeah, I think we can have July 4th and Juneteenth as a people. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like, I think that on one level, you know, we have to acknowledge that we do live in this country and we have to acknowledge the history of this country with regard to its independence from England, you know? And then, of course, you know, there's the Juneteenth holiday. So I think on one level, I get where she's coming from, but I don't want us to write ourselves out psychologically out of the larger history, you know?
That's why I agree with the sister wholeheartedly on it, because you're talking about free-ish, right? That's mm-hmm. the thing with it. When you have stuff in it saying all the people wasn't. So 1776 should just be a race itself. Because when you say all the people, who are all the people? Who attended the lands? Who made them build the country? Like, I mean, you got to include all the people. So I can't not celebrate 1776 ever and recognize it when you always going to have to say we the people. It's we. I don't see like I or just this group of people. That's what it was. So I can't rock with it in no way, shape, or form.
I think you make a salient point. I mean, I understand that. I mean, now traditionally, we've celebrated it historically. In my family, it was always a big holiday. But I think what happens is we have holidays, just basically because it's part of the fabric of the country. It's just, you know, some people don't even look that far into it. People are like, I got a day off. And I would go out there and celebrate and have a barbecue and a cookout and all that stuff like that because everybody else does it. But you know, for some reason this year I thought about it more than I've ever thought about it, you know?
I think maybe that's the Juneteenth effect. Yeah, historically we've tried to assimilate, but white folks didn't want us. Yeah, I mean, of course. You know, of course. But I think because of Juneteenth, I think maybe it's caused a reexamination of July 4th in a way that, you know, we just haven't looked at in terms of black people. But we have to acknowledge that if there were no July 4th, there would be no Juneteenth. You know what I mean? So you have to, on some level, you still have to acknowledge that that was the day that the Declaration of Independence was signed and that was the foundation.
But then it's a false. You know. It's built on a lie. That I can't celebrate things built on a lie.
But see, here's the thing. You're talking about, you have to separate the sole premise of it versus what it actually did. You know what I mean? What it actually did was it was the signing of the Declaration of Independence. That's it. That's as far as it goes for me personally. That's as far as it goes. All right. And it starts with that. That's the genesis. All right. Then in terms of being independence and all people being free and all the fancy words, you know, whatever. We know that that was not true. But you still have to start with that, with the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and everything that comes after that stands on that. You know, I don't want us to start writing ourselves out of American history, saying that that part didn't include us. We were here during it, all right? We were here after it. We were here before it. You know what I mean? And we were all part of that part of we were involved in that part of history as well.
But we wasn't.
we fought. No, well, listen.
You can say, yeah, you can say Crispus Attucks was the first person killed. We died and everything for this country. First, we always bled for this country. We always right. we the most patriotic people in this country.
Right.
So
without a doubt, I'm not arguing that.
Just can't rock with that whole 70.
No, and that's cool. You know, that's cool. Yeah, you know, yeah. More barbecue for me.
Yeah, I could dig it. I mean, like, you know, like my man Ever G fucking Tiger said.
Yeah.
You know, we assimilate, and that's what we did. Once you got wise to what was going on, like I just had to check out from that joint. But moving right along. Oh, you wanna say something, Rob? Oh,
I'll do no, I got nothing. Oh,
okay. Move right on. The was it Kristen Cinema who said, "Who the fuck is we?" Thoughts, gentlemen. I like to say fuck. I don't know. Go ahead, thoughts.
You know, again, and it almost feels redundant though. Looking at that. You know, people will do everything they can not to step on other people's toes. And if it means that we just get thrown under the bus or walked on, that's just what it means. And so, you know, I don't know why we never have that type of protection or support, you know, to sit there and say, well, we got to make sure that we don't offend the other side of the aisle. And, you know, make sure that we can have a civil discourse between party lines, even if that means, you know, sacrificing, you know, Black people or Black agenda or, you know, Black liberties. That I mean, there's something grossly wrong with that. But you know what it is? It just feels like we always are casualties. We're dispensable, you know, and usually when it comes to this political football, you know, we usually get caught in between. That's what it is. We're like the first bargaining chip that is so easily dismissed, you know. And so that's what I took away from it. And somewhere along the line, I realized that people treat you the way you allow them to treat you, not the way you deserve to be treated. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to recognize that. That's it. At a certain point, you just have to say, you know what? That's it. I'm either going to be independent, or I'm going to, you know, pull my own resources and make you respect who I am and what I stand for, you know, versus you just using me as some type of pawn. And that's how it feels like we're always on this board, just so dispensable, you know?
But I want to clarify like a little bit, like what was her issue? Like she just made a statement in a speech about who are we?
No, she didn't want us to rock the boat. She didn't want us to rock the boat as far as saying that if you want to, the Republicans, if you want to be able to deal with party lines, you know, we can't sit up here and isolate Black issues singularly, because that will tick off one side if you do that. So in order to have a civil discourse, you know, let's not, you know, identify the issues, especially in our community, you know, because if we do that, then obviously if we do that, then that's going to tick them off. So mm-hmm. as a starting point, you know, let's kind of act as if we're okay with everything. This way we can make sure we can go forward with the larger agenda, because we're never part of the larger conversation. You know what I mean? So all this stuff about that has been happening to Black people, or the way we've been disenfranchised, or, you know, some of the disparities in you know, economics or hiring and things like that. Don't identify those things, because if you do, it's going to set off the other side. And that was her point.
Mm. So just basically, she wants us to stay quiet.
Go along to get along.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So put on your tap dance shoes and just dance the jig.
Exactly. And our tap dance shoes is about worn out now. I mean,
I don't wear taps on my shoes.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just it. I mean, you know, you know, we done carried everybody's water as long as we could, but this is it. And this generation is just not trying to hear it no more.
Well, you know, what's the name? Senator Sinema, I think originally it was about the filibuster, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she didn't want to, she was cautioning us against changing the rules of the filibuster. All right, what's good, Damien?
Lisa out there too.
Okay, yeah, what's up, Lisa? And the point being, all right, so you have the filibuster is the last ditch defense of the minority party. So, you know, it's just the last way to stall things when everything else is falling apart. So it's a way, so I think she wants to do away with the filibuster. She's cautioning the doing away from the filibuster so that, you know, to push, as you know, so we can push our agenda through, you know, as quote unquote Democrats or whatever. And you know, it's and again, it's more of the same. You know, it's more caution. Be careful. Let's not do it. Now, that being said, you have to. She's saying also, be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you fight for now, that you might regret it later. Because you know, let's say right now, you know, the Democrats are in power, and the next, you know, and Republicans are minority. And then what happens if that switches? You know, later on. I don't know where I'm at with that. I think I understand. I feel as though the filibuster, certain things, personally, maybe we need to be a little bit cautious, or we have, you know, or I don't know. I don't know how it's, to me, it seems almost like if we get rid of the filibuster right now, it's almost like we have to push all our chips in right now. You know what I mean? Because we can't leave any doubt later on. Because if we ever fall out of, if the Democrats, I'm not saying we. I'm just putting myself in, because I'm an independent actually, but I'm putting myself in the eye of a minor Democrat. If they push it through now, you know, they have to go all in, because, you know, otherwise if the Republicans come in later on, it's an issue. So I think that's kind of what I get from it and what I understand about it. You know, I agree that, you know, at some point we have to decide that, you know, something we have to find out what's worth fighting for, you know. Maybe now is the time to kind of push things, you know, to kind of push all our chips in and go all in and hope for the best. So I don't know. Maybe coming out of COVID, maybe our economy, with all of that in mind, with all the, you know, issues in mind, maybe we need to do it. I don't know. You know, the whole thing is above me, to be honest with you. So I'm gonna leave something for these other guys to talk about, because I'm just following the whole thing, yeah. Not really understand everything that's going on. So
I could dig it. Well, let me move on. I'm moving on to Eric Adams. This is big news. He just won the Democratic Party's as mayor for New York against Curtis Sliwa in the November election. Brothers, thoughts?
Congratulations.
Yeah, he's going to be the man. I believe that truly. I think that there will be some changes made. I'm just going to sit back and watch how he deals with issues in the police department. I think pretty much what I'm kind of predicting is there's going to be a lot of battling with him with the police unions. Mm-hmm. I definitely see that. Definitely with Patty Lynch and Ed Mullins, the PBA president and the SBA president. You know, like I said, I was on a job the time that he was on a job. I didn't know him personally, but I used to work with his brother. And I'm going to have to say, so far from what I know about Eric Adams is a solid dude. You know what I'm saying? But politics sometimes changes people, so we got to wait and see. But I'm kind of happy to see that he's in a position to get the job and go in there and make some changes.
Well, I'll say one thing I'm glad about, and I think it was about a day ago, Cuomo signed some legislation to start trying to get these guns off the street. I think Eric Adams will be hard on crime. I think he is a crime fighter. Also, coming from the city, I think he'll be a lot more fair than we've had. We already just upgraded, because I don't know a person who wouldn't be a better mayor than de Blasio right now, I'm just be honest with you. So I think he's going to do better with that. And then also there's $57 million that's just been allocated to the city for city jobs for youth. Remember, young people couldn't work last summer because of the COVID. So they think that that has something to do with the city right now. So we need change. I've been saying this. We need somebody brilliant. And if you're not brilliant, then what you do is surround yourself with brilliant people. And that's what the city really needs right now. We just can't go on the way we've been going. New York is just the thing everybody used to say is expensive to live here, which it is. High taxes, it's true. But you can't have all that and still have high crime. It's just too much. You know what I mean? And so congratulations to Eric Adams. I'm assuming he's our second black mayor in history behind Dinkins. Or he will be. I know I'm putting the cart a little before the horse, but I mean, Democrats outnumber Republicans 9-1 in New York. So, and Curtis Sewell is just, even a Republican is probably not going to back him. I mean, Curtis is just a clown show. I mean,
I'm going to say it's going to play out. They both are friends. They both talk about both. It's funny how you have two people talking, running about, they run on the, as crime fighters, right? That's kind of like kind of strange. Like one was a street, I don't know what you want to call Curtis Lee, but a guardian angel, and then yeah, former police. It's going to be interesting. They both friends, so it's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. I don't want to say like you said, Kelvin. Hopefully, he'll be the new mayor. We seen Stranger Things 4 years ago, so
I'm just saying. As far as his education thing about him not knowing much, he may not. But you got to get a good chancellor, a strong chancellor.
Exactly. He don't have to know everything.
Do not get a white male bald with glasses, because that's all we ever had.
We haven't seen any mayor in the last few years run. Say, I want to see somebody challenge, because Lisa and I worked in schools for years. I haven't seen any mayor in the last 22 years I've been there.
Well, the thing is, education. No mayor knows everything about every topic, or no politician, period.
You know what I'm saying? Surround yourself.
That's right. Correct. It's all about putting the right people in the right positions. You know, right. if he gets the right guy, as is, like you said, a school chancellor or whatever, to come in there and turn things around, then things will change. If he doesn't get the right guy that comes in there and just wants to take the job and get a check, then things won't change. Mm-hmm. You know,
and to be fair, I gotta admit, Rod, I didn't want another borough president, but to be fair, he's done a good job with Brooklyn.
Yeah. Like I say, I can't say anything negative about Eric Adams, you know, anything off the top of my head. I'm not saying the guy's perfect or anything like that. But I will tell you, I do think he will be tough on crime. He does have a law enforcement background. And despite what people may think, there are certain neighborhoods that have to be policed a little bit tougher than other neighborhoods, because, and I'm not talking about black and white, it's just that certain areas are crime ridden because I've worked in them. And the thing is, when you see your own people killing each other like that, you realize that something has to be done. There's too many guns in certain neighborhoods.
I'm a Long Island guy. Don't necessarily have, you know, dog in a fight, but in as much as that we do follow New York City politics, because it seems like whatever happens in New York, if they catch a cold in New York, we catch it out here in, you know, Long Island the next week, you know. But I'm hearing a lot of pushback on him with regard to gentrification and almost like redlining or something. Are you hearing any? What do you guys think about that? You know, what are you hearing about that?
Well, that's a lot of I don't want to mention some of the other politicians I will mention in Brooklyn, but one of them's very tall, and he let his neighborhood go under with gentrification. I mean, the same person didn't even want to put his own child in one of the schools I was working in, and rather send his kid to another school, he would have just put his own child in that school. What kind of publicity he would have bought? What kind of, like, you know, energy behind that? I'm not gonna mention this tall politician's name. Very tall. But I'm just, you know, I'm just saying though, when it comes to that kind of thing, I've been in several rooms with a lot of these guys, and they like Ronnie said, when you become a politician, it's a different ballgame, man.
It's a different ballgame.
Even if you'd use the, what's the sister name that was running against with the locks? What's the sister name?
Maya.
Maya was privileged. She had her own police department with her husband. I mean,
I'm hoping he could use her somewhere, so maybe in his administration.
Everybody, all those people have some kind of privilege they use. So I don't know when people say that. Like,
this is anyone politicians don't.
I'm gonna open up something on this thing, not to get off the topic, but I'm gonna release something on the show just to put it out there. I have a strange feeling that when Eric Adams becomes the mayor, I think we're gonna see our first black female police commissioner.
You think so?
I think so.
Explain, talk to us.
No, that's what I'm leaving out there, and then we'll talk about it if it happens.
Okay.
But I'm just gonna say that you heard it first. You heard it first on Let's Chop It Up.
I'll say this lastly, Rod, to your earlier point, I found out that 95% of all inmates in New York come from seven neighborhoods.
You say, say it again, Kelvin.
No, this is what Lisa said. I'm sorry, live
Lisa. Yeah, she's doing a politician do cha-cha slide.
Yeah. Go ahead, go say it again, Kelvin. Go ahead.
No, 95% of all inmates in New York come from 7 neighborhoods.
Wow.
I'm not gonna name the neighborhoods, but in your mind, you already named them. So,
yeah. And I remember when there were certain neighborhoods in South Jamaica that pretty much most guns when they came into.
I live in it.
Yeah, you live in it.
I know half the motherfuckers.
Yeah. most guns. You saying most guns most come from
guns,
Jamaica?
Most guns when they first come into New York. Yep. Touchdown in South Jamaica.
That's a fact.
And let people know the two major airports in New York are in Queens, both of them.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, they're not coming in through the airports. They're coming, like, people, you got to realize, like, you know.
Yeah, but that was the drug part, though. They came through the
air. Any port city, any city has a port will have a high drug problem.
Yeah, correct.
Any city with a port.
Correct. But the thing is that most of the guns, like I said, they come into New York, touchdown in South Jamaica first. So obviously there's some major dealings with guns in South Jamaica, because the thing is, the police department can track guns based on ballistics, if it was a shooting in Queens, they could tell if that same gun was used in Brooklyn, if that same gun was used in the Bronx. So basically the guns are constantly moving. They're changing hands. They're going from boroughs to boroughs.
Well, why Jamaica? Why is Jamaica the
I don't know. I don't know if somebody in Jamaica has a major connection.
That person might be the plug.
Correct. It's maybe somebody in South Jamaica that's the plug. The thing is, you got to realize, like, a lot of guns came in from New York. Basically, like, you got Jim Bob that used to do gun shows and then basically reports a certain amount of guns stolen, and they file those guns, the serial numbers off those guns, and then they basically ship them out to the hood for us to kill each other. Yeah. That's what they do.
The question by Lisa.
What do you think? What do y'all think of the government's state of emergency due to gun violence?
Yeah, Cuomo issued that. He issued it today or yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
I mean, like I said, there's a lot of shootings now. There's another thing too. The police departments have pulled back. They have pulled back.
I just hope if Eric Adams becomes, like, we bring back, like, community policing also. And I hope we bring back some of the other programs that could, like, when we had, what's his name, back in the day, Green, before he died, when Deacons was the mayor, and they had all these evening basketball programs and stuff like that. And they also creating, like, more jobs and stuff. Like, you just said, I think, Roder, some of youth jobs are missing. Somebody said some of youth jobs are missing.
Kelvin said.
If we get more of those things going on.
But you know what, D, go back to the 90s. So what happened was, back in the day, they came up with midnight basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they were saying was, and I believe it may have been Mario Cuomo saying that between the hours of 12 midnight and 5 a.m., you had hundreds of thousands of teenagers walking the streets in New York City. So he decided, open up the gyms, open up the Beacon schools, and let them play basketball. And that's what they were doing. Then when Pataki took over as governor, he shut all that down, and he's like, I know what to do with them. I'll lock them up. And that's what he did, and that's the difference. So, yeah, they did have midnight basketball, and it was effective. You know what I mean? I'll just tell you this quickly before we move on. Many years ago, I decided to just rent a gym on Friday nights for the young men in Queens. And first night, I had, like, 10 kids. Before I know it, I had 50 kids in the gym on Friday night. And I was just letting them have open gym. And I was saying, where would these kids be tonight if we didn't have this gym open? So I think it's definitely crucial to have that.
Yeah, if those programs are run properly, I believe that those are definitely a good look too. I'm not big on open street courts because sometimes you see me and my wife had this discussion just recently about putting open basketball courts in the streets. Because the thing is, lots of times those basketball courts become havens for victims to be shot late at night because they become hangout points and stuff like that. So the thing is, I'm not big on that. Like you said, if you create a center that's inside where somebody's regulating it, somebody sets some standards to it, you come in here, you act up, you're out of here, then yeah, I'm all for that. But like open basketball courts in the hood, in the street, no. Because if you look at the statistics on those courts, I'm telling you right now, if you had that court there for 10 years and you did the statistics on how many people made the pros from that court and how many people got shot on that court, it ain't gonna be no match.
Well, once they bring nutcrackers outside, the part the game is over. But anyway, let's move on. Mm-hmm. We've been on the topic for a long time. Haitian president assassinated and first lady shot at home in Haiti. Juvenal Moïse. Am I saying it right? I don't have a Creole tongue. Am I saying it right?
Juvenal Moïse.
Moïse.
Moïse. Brother,
for what I understand Moïse. From my Haitian master, if I was talking to today, he was a piece of shit. So I'm not sure if America appointed him, and then I'm not sure. I'm just going to allegedly what I'm hearing in the streets. So,
well, supposedly they assassinated him in his house, correct?
Correct. You know, that was a setup. That was somebody lined him up.
Yeah, they lined them up. They lined them up, and they said that the guys that came in and did the hit were supposedly speaking Spanish. So, you know, that could just be hearsay, or basically they were speaking Spanish to throw the, you know, people off to think that they were Spanish and they actually were somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? So when people do hits, they always do things that throw you off from who really did it. You know what
Especially let me pro say hits. This. I really don't know as much about it. So what I do is I defer to the people that are Haitian that I know. Mm-hmm. And they pretty much landed on the side of what D just said. They seem to have felt that the man was very, very corrupt, mm-hmm. very cruel. Again, I'm just taking this, you know, from what they're saying. You know, I don't know as far as Haitian politics are concerned, but from what I've been hearing from Haitian people that I know, they seem to say that this is... And I don't think they were using the word justified. I just think they're not surprised by it. And they thought that the guy was really, really somebody that was not good for that country.
Mm. Yeah, somebody just said to me today, interesting observation, said that there's no rioting or unrest or protests after him dying. You know, so you don't normally. So to me, that tells me that he didn't have the support of the people, you know. And, you know, and apparently there's some sort of video originally saying that they were DEA agents, like the hitmen were originally identifying themselves as DEA agents, and there was some sort of operation going on. But since then, I guess the ambassador has said that he thinks that they're mercenaries and it's a professional job. So my Haitian friend said the same should have been going a long time ago. Okay, so, yeah, so we're hearing a lot about that.
Yeah. Haitians do speak Spanish.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, that could be making you think that it was Haiti people and it could have been somewhere else. I'm just not trying to speculate anything, but I'm just saying that they do certain things to throw people off. Because technically, you come in here to do a hit, you ain't supposed to say nothing. You're just supposed to just do it.
Maybe they're trying to communicate. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe the security is saying they spoke Spanish because the security is getting paid off too.
Correct.
There's a lot of angles
you can look at it. But supposedly they shot his wife too. I don't know if his wife is deceased or not, but I heard the wife was shot too.
Now apparently he was supposed to step down in February, is what I'm hearing, and he was trying to basically consolidate power, and I think he was not complying. I'm not really sure.
I think he was on some Black Trump shit.
So maybe that was it, you know? Yeah, I think maybe they shut him down for that. But I'll leave that to my Haitian friends. They know better than I do.
Speaking of Donald Trump, he says Herschel Walker will run for Georgia Senate seat in 2022. That damn wild animal. I ain't going to say, you know what I'm going to call him. It starts with a C.
The nocturnal.
Nocturnal beast he is.
The thing is, you know me, I always say when Trump gets people to do something or he wants people in a certain place, it's because he has something on them. You remember Herschel Walker used to play for Trump when he owned the New Jersey Generals.
I think
what was that league? US?
USFL.
Yeah, USFL. Yeah, USFL. Yeah, USFL. Yeah, 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 yeah. Trump used to own the New Jersey Generals, and then Herschel Walker played for him for, I think, one or two seasons, and then the league went out or whatever. So I don't know. Maybe Herschel was hanging around with Trump. Trump got him or something. I don't know. Make him do, because he'd be too far up Trump's ass for me, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Me the same.
Yeah, Herschel, he was on The Apprentice, man, and, you know, I have to admit, I lost a lot of respect for Herschel Walker.
Black people did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not
lost respect.
I respect the fact that people have different, you know, positions. But, I mean, man, for you to act as if everybody that's been oppressed is just because they don't want to work hard and things like that. I mean, come on, man. I mean, you know, Hershey, you got to do better than that, really.
Yeah.
And then got the nerd to be all country sounding and stuff like that. And I'm saying, the funny thing is, you know how they look at you. That's what makes me.
Oh, absolutely. Correct. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And let's be honest. If Herschel Walker couldn't play football, where would Herschel Walker be?
He's just a $1 million nigga.
You don't know where he would be. Probably could be a janitor somewhere.
He was gifted. What he look at. Read he the was, book, $1 million nigga. That's him.
He was gifted with a talent.
He said he looked like a dark skinned silver surfer.
Look at Damien's an asshole.
It's just. It kills me when I hear people talk about the pull up the bootstraps theory.
Like, I hate that. People don't have boots.
Yeah, they don't have no, and the thing is, when the slaves were set free, they wasn't given no boots. Well, you had to pull up.
Word up. Facts. Barefoot and shit. But anyway, Jamie, take us to our first commercial break, brother. How you doing from the commercial break? Everybody went to use the bathroom and everything.
Man down.
Kelvin. Okay, fellow. Hope they didn't get him from what we just said about Donald Trump because he's out in New Jersey and whatnot too, right? You know. But okay, I lost my thing. The phone got stuck. Okay, Delaware State becomes the first historical black college to acquire another school with takeover of Wesley College. First historical black college took over a white college out there in Delaware, in Dover, Delaware. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Yeah, it was liberal arts college they took over, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think it's a good look. I mean, they're going to be able to expand their campus. They're going to be able to get more students up in there. I mean, I definitely think it's a great look. That's just my opinion on it, you know?
Yeah, I think they said that they will be expanded up, I think 10,000 more students or something like that.
Yeah,
something
probably about like 10, number. Yeah. Yeah, I think their capacity is like what 5,000 now. They're going to basically almost double their capacity of students by taking over this.
Serve more serving, you know, deserving students and young minds and everything. So, definitely, you know, and you can get a fantastic education there at HBCU. You know what I mean? That's
what HBCUs need. They need bigger campuses. They need more spaces to attract certain people. You know. More students, actually, in some cases, even athletes as well. If they can get bigger campus and they can have bigger gyms to be able to showcase a lot of more athletes, I definitely I'm in support of them definitely doing that.
But do you think it might be a trend? We might be seeing a trend if it's successful between like maybe HBCUs, maybe even consolidating, you know, one HBCU consolidating with another, perhaps, you know, because now that we have, you know, the online education, it's completely possible. You know, that the two schools might, you know, I don't know, coexist or something like, or you know, you may be able to get a education, which what's between two schools would join to become one. So I don't know.
Well, the thing is, it's all about distance too. You can't have schools in totally different states and then you're combining them in, you know, to be one school. You know what I'm saying?
But it's state funding. It's a lot of state funding, right? So it have to be in state. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
But I think it's a good look. Definitely a good look.
Black and Dope t-shirts, though.
Yeah. And speaking of Historical Black Colleges, the man that used to give a lot of money to Historical Black Colleges, Bill Cosby, was released from prison after a PA Supreme Court overturned his sexual assault convictions. Conviction. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Listen, I think I agree that it was a travesty that it happened in the first place, that he was arrested and put in jail on that basis. You know, basically, it's from what I gather, my, you know, of course, non-professional opinion, it seemed as though there was a case, maybe even double jeopardy or something like that, you know, where I think he came up with the deal, and that because of the previous deal, he was able, he should never have been tried, you know. And I don't think we need to go down the rabbit hole of whether or not he did it, or how much culpability, or whatever you want to call it, you know, he had, and just deal with his innocence, you know, because I think it's something greater is lost if we decide that, you know, we're going to just throw out the rule of law and just prosecute the guy and throw him away, you know. So, you know, those legal agreements have to mean something, and we have to let that stand by, you know, and, you know, so not succumb to mob rule, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Bill Cosby should be in jail right now because of the deal that was made. For people that don't know, basically, Mr. Cosby agreed to doing a deposition and basically admitted that he was guilty of, he didn't admit he was guilty. He made statements that led to his guilt of that he was drugging women. And by getting him to do that deposition, it gave him the ability not to be prosecuted.
Right.
So there was going to be no consequences for it as long as he was telling the truth. Right. That was with one district attorney, and then another district attorney came in and used the deposition against Bill Cosby and prosecuted him for it. So basically the deal was broken. Mr. Cosby didn't lie. So then Mr. Cosby shouldn't went to jail. Now, pretty much, what's our friend's name, D, that the pedophile that killed himself in jail?
Epstein.
Epstein
hold on.
Okay, I shouldn't have said he was our friend.
I was saying my friend, because people know I know a lot of weird characters.
You know what I meant when I said, because we was having this conversation.
Yeah,
he's scared,
man. I was like, yo, since some stuff a long time ago or something. Like, whoa, what are you doing there, man?
Now, Epstein basically had the same deal in Florida. Basically, he went in and he did a deposition confessing to it. He didn't do any time. And the reason why he was reconvicted is because he continued to do it after that. Gotcha. But Mr. Cosby basically confessing he shouldn't have been prosecuted. Now, the guy that prosecuted him was the same guy that represented Trump in the in the second impeachment.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's a connection there or whatever, but Mr. Cosby should be out of jail because you can't sign a deal that's going to give him total immunity and then use it against him later on. You can't do that.
Yeah.
There's somebody else did that too. I think they did it in a Tupac case too.
Did it?
Yeah, they did.
I don't know.
I think one of the people that were in the car with that was one of the shooters in the Tupac case. He got the same immunity.
Stop, Lisa. I do not, for the record, again. No, Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
I'm just struck with the practicality of it, though. Like, wondering about the practicalities of it. You know. You know, why would you, you know, do that?
Why would you confess in a deposition?
Yeah.
Because it would make the case go away, and then the victims would only be able to sue him civilly.
Yeah. He admitted that he gave drugs and all that kind of
correct.
Shit.
Correct.
Right. So you take the legal part off the table.
The jail time is off the table, but the civil case is not off the table.
Which is potentially more expensive anyway, because now instead of fighting a
It could be actually cheaper because you got to look at this. This is Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby.
What I mean, it's cheaper because then he could just go and he could just settle out okay. for the right. So for
yeah, 8 he could just settle with the victims and then go on and it's over. Yeah.
Whatever it would cost him, he would have spent whatever just to stay out of jail. Right?
Just to stay out of jail, correct. Right. I mean, Bill Cosby's not a young guy. He can't do a lot of time. But you know, they got Bill Cosby for 2 years, which he shouldn't have really did none based on the deal. You know what yeah. I mean? But that's what they did.
Only thing I want to say, I'm going to the Bill Cosby party because that shit gonna be lit.
It's gonna be lit.
That shit
all
be
I gotta say is don't take any drinks there.
And don't eat the pudding pop. But this week we heard Mark Lamont Hill and Joe Judge Brown spar off about Bill Cosby. Any thoughts on that? There we go. Remember Joe yeah. Judge Brown? He's been in the news lately, him and Kwame. He's been on a lot of stuff lately, man.
Yeah. Judge Joe has been making the rounds as a resident legal aficionado regarding the case with regard to black media. And he makes some very salient points with regard, you know, what we're just discussing. And but also when I saw that with Hill, you know, that discourse they had, he was not letting that young man run with anything or put anything out there, you know, because he kept trying to get him to talk about the case from the standpoint of, do you think he did anything wrong, you know, is he causing more harm by being out than us upholding this law. And Judge was not, you know, Judge Joe, he was not having any of it, man. He wouldn't even entertain that young man for a minute. You know, he wouldn't entertain him for a minute.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Does Mark have like a past history with Mr. Cosby?
I don't know,
because he kind of seems like, you know, and I'm not condoning what Mr. Cosby did. But it definitely seems like he has like this chip on his shoulder for Mr. Cosby.
Mm-hmm. There's a few people out there. I agree with you. There's a few people out there in the media that does have a chip on his shoulder about Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
I don't know, people get so uptight if you mention you on one side, because people would say like, mm-hmm. I think what black and Latino people say, we know we always got wrongly accused for a lot of things, and to see somebody win, I think that's why some people are celebrating it, kind of. But then they like, then it's at the back. We all got sisters and mothers and daughters, so it's like. So it's like this Bill Cosby thing's funny. I just wish Bill Cosby, since he got free, just shut the fuck up. He's yeah. trying to go in there. He's about to do comedy. He's trying to fucking have lawsuits. Just, bro, you won. Go away.
Well, no, away. The thing is, you got to understand, man, he took 2 years of an elderly man's life, which should have never happened.
I know.
Like, you got to realize, they did something to Bill Cosby that should have never been done at all. You can't cut a deal like that and then renege on it. You know what I mean? So... Like I said, Bill Cosby should have never did a day in jail according to the deal.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
I agree with you.
And in terms of him being quiet, didn't he do that from the beginning, right? You know, and sometimes it's better to hide in plain sight. You know, he should probably just get out there and just.
And
I think baby girl said something about she wondered what the recourse would be for Bill Cosby. Legal recourse.
Maybe somebody should, and that's what Judge Joe Brown was saying, man. He said, listen, that guy should lose his job, the prosecutor. You know?
Yeah, well, I don't think he's no longer the prosecutor. I think he's retired now. I don't think he's retired.
But that's a lot of prosecutors, all these wrongfully convicted brothers and sisters that get 15 years. No, it's nothing. Yeah. Nothing happens bad to them. You know what I'm saying?
Nothing ever happens to
Central Park. The Central Park prosecutor. She got a career. Like, it's sad, the whole system. You know.
You can save anybody of anything if you just find a sufficiently motivated prosecutor. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's the way it seems to me.
Yeah, but
the Central Park 5 prosecutor still goes around to this day saying that they were guilty, right? Mm-hmm. She's made money from that case. She wrote books. She did speaking engagements, all types of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And it was proven through DNA clearly that they had nothing to do with that crime, you know? But nothing ever happened to her as a result of it.
And a lot of people catch a smoke that's staying behind Bill Cosby. You have Felicia Rashad that just became the dean of a liberal theater arts, something like that. And then you have Stephanie Mills that came to the defense. You guys thoughts on that?
I mean, I kind of, you know, she definitely, Felicia Rashad definitely took some heat for that because I look at it as she was being loyal to Bill Cosby. Probably same thing with Stephanie Mills. You know what I mean? But the thing is, I don't know if she was thinking, but it definitely was going to be backlash from women that, you know, have been victims of, you know, sex crimes. So, I mean, I don't know. I just think she was just being loyal. That's what I think it was.
But
they're looking for eight. There are people that want her to resign from Howard as liberal arts dean.
I think that'd be a grave mistake.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead, Derek. You can go.
No, I'm just saying that there's a larger issue at hand also, which is the legal issue. You know what I mean? You can't totally brush aside the fact that he had this deal in place.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the deal. You know what I mean? That you have to stand behind that. Whether or not you feel he did it or didn't do it, where you stand is almost immaterial to the case. You know what I mean? It's why he got off. You know, it's why they had to let him go. Back to Judge Brown, he's saying every single legal scholar with the salt would have told you and could have told you that this was going to happen, that he was going to be released. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, so the people who are jumping on this bandwagon, they're literally trying to go against what, you know, the law says and what was already put in place. And how do we, you know, and how many black people do we know who've been on, or have we heard of at least, have been on the bad side of, you know, of a foul?
Yeah, and that's my thing with people in the community. Like, you know, we all have family members or friends we know that come home from jail that they wrong for somebody else, but we ride with them. So that's Felicia Rashad. That's a man. Like, no, she never seen their friends. So that's who she's going to ride with. Stephanie Mills, she got history with Bill Cosby. That's who she's going to ride with. Cause, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got a homie that just went to jail last week. So and when he come home, I'm going to ride with him. You know, so. I understand what people are upset, but you got to understand where they're coming from, because this is the love they have. That's their family member, basically.
Yeah, I mean, let's think about it. If it wasn't for Bill Cosby, there'd be no Felicia Rashad. And I don't know, Cosby Show.
Not to that level. No, she would have been all right, but not to that level.
Yeah, not to that level. And the thing is, the thing I said, I just want to touch on this real quick before we move on, D. Mm-hmm. Like, people feel that she's ignoring the fact that basically he confessed in a deposition. And then basically she made a statement about a wrong was now righted because he's out of jail. You know what I'm saying? Because he shouldn't have been in the first place based on a deal.
Right.
So correct. So you got to look at it from two standpoints. Mm-hmm. You know, women are looking at it and say, "Oh, she's being inconsiderate to the victims, you know, his victims or whatever." But I kind of took it to, like I said, she's being loyal to Bill Cosby, and also to knowing that he shouldn't have been in jail in the first place based on a deal.
Yeah. No, that's what, regardless of how you feel about it, he should have never been in jail. Exactly, Rodney.
That's the law.
And that's the cover that we have to at least give that sister. You know what I mean?
But you know what's the funny thing is, only a black man could have made that deal and then still went to jail. Because everybody else that was white in history that made that deal, they didn't do a day in jail after they made those deals.
That's a big fact. So let's move on, y'all. Ohio police chief retires after a video shows him leaving KKK sign on black officer's desk. I wish we have a video for that, Jamie, or no? We don't have one, right? I don't think so. So anyhow, Ronnie.
Ronnie, please.
Well, okay. You clearly said police chief, correct?
Correct.
Okay, this is a higher ranking member of the police department that's putting a KKK.
He's a boss.
Yeah. So the thing is, like, what kind of example are you setting to the other white subordinates? That it's okay to be racist within the police department. That is a horrible standard that he is setting to basically the cops can, all the white cops can just basically have racial jokes and make what all the racial comments they want because the chief is doing it. You know what I mean? It sends a very bad precedent. Now, I know I saw the video and it looked like the officer was laughing about it. But the thing is, you know, that shit ain't funny. It ain't funny at all.
Mm-mm. And then you got to think about, this is the same person. We were talking about these wrongful convictions of black and Latino men. This is the chief of police. What is he telling his officers? Like, you know, like, right, you talk about CompSats, like, you're not getting enough arrests. And he don't give, by any means, you better show these numbers, put some guns on these people, put some drugs on them, arrest them for riding a bicycle on the street, whatever it could be. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't say that. I didn't say putting on drugs. I never said that. Hey, you do. He's right. Comstead is always about numbers, and that's where there's the problem with the police in the black community, because the police just look at the black community as numbers. That's how they look at them. They look at them as numbers and revenue for the city.
Exactly.
That's basically it. So
yeah, if he can play around like that, you know what I'm saying? Then he's got no problem sending those officers out to target certain, you know, certain neighborhoods and certain people, you know, meaning us, you know. So yeah, none of us were safe. And I wonder what that does to the morale to the other black officers on the department, you know.
What it does is let them know that it's open season on us. You can basically say and do whatever you want to us. Yeah. You know, and Damon, you know. Damon's right. They gave him early retirement, so he still saved his pension, and he still went off into the sunset. You know, yep. And that's what they do. The good old boy network is strong, and they're going to save your pension, and they're going to let you go off into the sunset. You know?
Yeah, only him.
Yeah,
but and then you know they do optics with the press conference to make it seem like he was fired, but you know basically if he kept his pension, he wasn't fired.
Yeah, they let him resign. All right.
Yeah. Other news: a transgender woman reportedly undressed at a popular Korean town spa, sparking protests. Jamie, can you show the video, please?
I just want to be clear with you. It's okay for a man to go into the women's section.
A rant caught on cell phone camera at Wee Spa in Koreatown. In the video, the woman claims a naked man was in the women's day spa.
He's a man. He is a man. He is not no female.
The woman who posted this video to Instagram goes by the name of Cubana Angel, with the title Christ is King.
What really? What law? So women can go into the men's with their breasts.
The video goes on for about 3 minutes. Okay. Bambi Salcido is the CEO of Trans Latina Coalition.
I think this is one of the horrible things that we experience every single day within our society.
We reached out to Wee Spa. They declined to comment, but say they do follow state law, which makes discriminating against trans and other non-conforming people in business establishments illegal.
Thoughts, gentlemen?
Yeah, it's illegal to discriminate. Yeah.
Yeah, but all right.
Go ahead. You know, and you know, I get it. Women are allowed, in my mind, you need to be able to feel comfortable in a space like that. You should not have to be subjected to a biological man walking around with things slinging all over the place. You know what I mean? And you're trying to relax. It's a spa. You know what I mean? It's all about relaxation. Nothing about that. Maybe some other women are fine with it, but there's nothing about that for a lot of others is relaxing, you know? And I don't think that you should have to be subjected to it. Now, I don't know what the answer is or the question, you know, the fix is, but I do find it interesting that, you know, that women are starting to speak up on these trans matters. So that's what I
think. Rodney.
I'm sitting here trying to act like my Wi-Fi is stuck. I don't even know what to say about that. The thing is, if he's a transgender woman, but he still has his male part downstairs, why is he walking around in the woman's area naked? If that's the case, if this is what happened, I don't know. I'm just going by this video. Like, do you, like, even as a transgender male, like, you don't realize like that's going to be a problem? You know what I mean? Like, that's just severely inappropriate. Like, it would be inappropriate if we were at a day spa and a woman walked in naked and she says I identify with a man and she walked in naked. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't.
You know, the funny thing about that, though, Rod, because we're men, let's be honest, if a woman came in and said she identified as a man, it wouldn't quite hit the same way.
No, you know, it wouldn't hit the same way.
It wouldn't hit the same way, but I'd be scared somebody's going to set me up.
Correct.
I'm always looking forward to somebody that's bigger.
That we touched her, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, we know what you identify as, but the thing is, that doesn't mean that everybody identifies you as that. You know what
right,
I mean? Like,
right.
So
right.
You're going in there with your penis out in a woman's spa. You like, that's not cool. I mean, you can't do that yet. You know, if you want to get your penis removed or whatever, and nobody knows that you're female, then that's a different story. But if you still have your penis, you can't walk into a female spa exposing your genitals. You can't do that.
And Damien said they think children were there too.
Yes. That was the other part that we didn't speak on. There were
not
women.
It's not,
there
not
were children. Yeah, not yeah. And I don't know. I can't speak to it from a place of experience, obviously. I remember we had transvestite, we had transsexual. Now it just seems to be transgender, you know? And I don't know what that means, but apparently you can be transgender and still keep all of your stuff, you know? I don't want to see transgender genitalia in any locker room. I don't even want to see other naked women, okay? You know, that's, hey.
Let's face the facts. Like, maybe it would have just been better off if he had just came in the spa and just maybe they had a private bathroom that he could have changed in. But I don't know the circumstances.
But now we know what the argument is going to be. Now we're getting into the same space, because remember, they're going to bring in the racial history. They're going to say, okay, remember when we had black and white fountains and black and white bathrooms? They're going to bring that up.
That's apples to oranges, because you're talking about sexual.
That shit is apples and prunes. That's about to say that. The thing is, you can't take your genitals out in a woman's locker room with women walking around and think that it's going to be okay. It's not going to be okay.
Yeah.
Listen, man, they're fighting us hard, bro. I'm telling you, they're fighting hard for this thing, man. Again, I have to see that. And that's the other thing. There are gender neutral restrooms. But here's the thing, Tim G. We weren't talking about a restroom. This was a spa.
Yeah,
this is all spa. Right. This wasn't even a restroom. No, the maybe Tim was all easy, but this is like a general area, you know?
Maybe Tim is thinking that, like I said earlier, maybe they should have went into the bathroom. But I don't know. Maybe he was just on it and just said, I want to walk around naked like the women are walking around naked.
Exactly.
You can't do that
because you don't have the right
same thing. Yeah, you're not the same capacity.
I think he wants to try to let his balls dry. Yeah, salty balls. Anyway.
Yeah, it's unrealistic.
Speaking of somebody being salty, Rachel Nichols is trending after a new New York Times published leaked audio of her saying her coworker got desired reporting job due because of diversity hiring. So she's saying the sister got plugged in because of her skin tone. And it was supposed to have been secretive. She was on a private phone call, but I guess she left her shit hot and it got picked up. You know, but people can say the same thing about her. She got started because she's a woman.
Well, a white woman. I know what she said. She said that ESPN thinks they want to take something away from me because they didn't do the right thing by diversifying this.
And place. I agree with her.
She's saying that. So now you want to take my spot because you didn't do the right thing as far as diversifying this place to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want people out there to think that she likes, because I noticed on some news outlets they're saying she made a racist comment.
Yeah, we agree with you, Tiger. We agree with you.
That's what we're saying. This issue is with ESPN. You know what I'm saying? So now ESPN's got to clear themselves and make it look like, you know, because the times are changing. Now they're going to say, oh, no, we're going to push you out your spot. I'm going to put this black woman in because we need to look wholesome.
Hey, guys,
now.
Somebody shut their phone on vibrate. Somebody's phone is ringing.
I apologize for that. It's mine.
Okay. All right.
I just paid my cell phone bill. I'm just happy to have it back on. But, no, I think that, you know, I think she kind of got a point there. You know what I'm saying? And I kind of didn't really see it as being racist. I really didn't.
Yeah, you know, she's for diversity until it's her, you know, so it's her head on the block. And now it's like, wait a minute. You know, you're forgetting that you are a woman, you know, in what was traditionally a man's spot. You know what I mean? And, you know, so and now it's like, wait a minute. We're talking about them, not me, you know. And, you know, that's where she is with it, you know. So, yeah. I mean. Listen, I agree. You know, we should be taking it up with ESPN. You know what I mean?
Let me get real quick. Then I want to move on. People don't understand ESPN. They're owned by Disney. Disney's been one of the most racist-ass companies of all time. If you look back at all the stuff they have done with all their little cartoons and subliminal messages, it's not surprising that this culture still lives on. People always look. You always got to look at history. When you look at the history and the basis of what a company was, it played out to today, and people not just having it. That's why ESPN, for one thing, is falling off really bad. They tried to have their one token black when they had Stuart Scott, and I love Brother Stuart, But then they always try to, they saying some people are just too black. Stu was just a cool hip dude that they love, and they had a one. Now they got Stephen A. Smith, and he's a company man. I'm leaving it at that. But anyway, since we're on the topic of sports, Jakari Richards suspended for 1 month after testing positive for marijuana, but now looks like they told her she can't compete at all in this year's Olympics. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Damn, man. I mean, listen, it's on one level, you have to say, listen, I don't know if she was going through some things. I think that, you know, I believe she was going through some personal things that caused her, that she's blaming on it, or from what I understand, why she, you know, took an edible or smoked or whatever it is she did. But you need somebody around you that's just going to just tell you, nah, don't do that. You know what I mean? Just, you know, stay away from that stuff. You know that there's a larger goal. There's another goal in mind. But on the other hand, you know, that's tough, man. You know, she can finish the suspension in time. But you know, they're keeping it from her for some other reason, obviously. I think the reason is pretty obvious, but I'll let somebody else speak to it, you know. But you know, it's just a tough deal. But you know, the margin of error has always been slim, razor slim, and it's getting slimmer, especially for black women in sports, you know. So you have to kind of be mindful of that. There's no other remedy for it. We can get outraged and everything, but you have to have some you have to be kind of proactive and preemptive in your thought process and how you move. So that's my thought.
Hi, Ronnie.
Shakari Richardson made a huge mistake. Huge. The thing is, you know, for people that don't really know or have ever seen her run, she is a phenom. What makes her so amazing is not just that she's fast. Shakari, she's 5'1 in height. And we've had this discussion when we went out, guys. Like, most sprinters are taller, and if you pay attention to her races, she's not the first one out the block. She can't be the first one out the block because she's too short. But as soon as she gets upright, it's your ass. She got you. The burners turn on, and she smokes you. That is amazing. That is a God-given talent that she has. You know what I'm saying? And I feel bad in a certain way for the sister, but I don't know. We have to understand something too. Right, we're talking about the Olympics here, right? I don't know if you guys know what USADA is. USADA is the United States Anti-Doping Agency, right? Yeah. They're the people that let you know that you cannot have this in your system. Your testosterone level can't be at this level. No THC. So the thing is, Ms. Richardson knows that she cannot have marijuana in her system. All right, and the thing is, we're not talking about a sport that basically. Okay, she could be suspended for 30 days and she's got a game after that. This is the Olympics. The Olympics come every 4 years.
Yeah.
Now, the endorsements that Ms. Richards has probably lost was probably worth millions of dollars.
This year will be 3 years. It'll come back in 3 years.
Okay, 3 years. Mm-hmm. So it's still a long time. No matter how we cut it, 2, 3, 4, whatever. The bottom line is that Ms. Richards lost a lot of money that probably could have did a lot for her family, herself, and probably could have maybe employed some other black people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, I don't know what she's going through. She says, hey, baby, maybe she's self-medicated. People say, oh, she smoked the marijuana in a state that it was legal. Listen, she knows she can't have that in her system. And to piggyback off what Derek said, maybe I'm just guessing. Maybe she had some people around her and maybe got caught up in the hype and maybe made a mistake. But the bottom line is this. This was a very bad choice on her part. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully she'll be able to come back from this. She's still young. But it's no joint or this moment of getting high was worth it. It was not worth it at all.
Yeah, I know, Ryan, you were saying before that, you know, she just got the just found out about her mother, just got reconnected with her mother like a week ago. So what I say to that is, like, a lot of people, when, like, Jay-Z, just before he got reconnected with his father, just before he passed, I remember my man Samson just got reconnected. People like that. So she could have, when I say coping on this, a whole bunch of things could have happened in her life. Where she finally got the chance to get this peace, and then they got shortchanged. One of my friends just lost their mom today, and they were just trying to reconcile their relationship, and it's messing with their head because they didn't have the chance to get that piece. So maybe she did turn to the weed for that. Now, however, the other thing is they let a testosterone-driven transgender man, not getting against transgender people, but I think Norway Ice is going to compete in the women's weightlifting. But this sister cannot compete because she smokes some marijuana.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I understand that. And like we said that day, we know what the game is. We know how if they get us, it's going to be much harder. So the thing is, you don't give it to them. Don't give it to them over no right.
She needed a big homie. She needed a big homie.
And say, hey, listen, you can't do this. You can't hang with this one. You can't hang with that one. Your future looks amazingly bright. You know, I don't know. I'm just guessing. It's a possibility. We could have had a sister on a Wheaties box that ran track. Could have happened. All she had to do was win the relay and whatever. Now she's not going to be able to do any of that. Yeah. Like I said, she was going through, that wasn't going to fix her problems. Yeah, it was going to still be there when she came down off that high or whatever.
Yeah,
it's just a temporary fix. You know what I'm saying? Now, the thing is, people always say, you know, like you were saying, Dave, she's dealing with trauma. Look at the trauma she's going to deal with now. That is worse.
Oh, think about all that money.
It's more trauma now she's created as a result of making it.
And Tiger, you're right. It's a lot of BS. Like the swim cap, black women trying to get a swim cap. They try to ban us for a whole bunch of stuff. Like that's why I tell people, tomorrow, black people are always going to be conflicted because you're American, you're black. To me, I'm always seeing in my eyes of black. Anybody with melanated skin, I'm rooting for that country. I'm not going to lie to you. So I want Team Jamaica to smoke everybody out there. You know what I'm saying? I want... any Latino country, knock them out. I really do because I was like, it's conflicting because I can't root for a country that's never been good to us. I cannot do it. It's really hard for me to do that. So anybody with melanated skin across this world, I'm going for. So that's why I hope Team Jamaica, and they the hardest competition we're gonna have out there. Hope they smoke them and everything.
Track field, yeah.
Hope
they
smoke them and everything moving. Yeah. Word, Wagwan.
She's supposed to be the face of the U.S. team, man. And she was going to be the next big thing.
She's going to be Flojo. She's Flojo.
Yeah, she was going to be the new modern day Flojo.
We're going to see something. I'm telling you, man.
We could have had a sister that we could have connected with that's basically from the hood that was going to represent this country and the U.S. team. And you know what? And sisters were going to blow everybody out the frame. I wanted to see.
They might still, except for Jamaica. I'm telling y'all. Men track and field got this young boy. I can't think of his name for now, but he's fat. He broke Usain Bolt's record of people under 18. Just look out. So, and another guy named Bill. But for sake of time, we've got to move on. Anthony Mackie gets heat from Marvel fans for shutting down gay romance between his character and the Winter Soldier. Thoughts?
Have several seats. There's several in the back, way in the back. Have several seats, man. You know, listen, man, I'm just getting used to the fact that I finally see a black superhero. Mm-hmm. Can we just do baseline stuff before we got to make him gay? You know what I'm saying? Can we just have a black superhero for a second and just let him be heterosexual? Let's just stay there for a second, right? Why we got to jump right into the gay thing? You know what I'm saying? Come on.
You know, I wouldn't do it either. Why do I got to be a gay superhero? You're right, Derek.
That's
like,
what I'm
why can't I be straight? Why do we always got to? Why do they always got to do that? And I stand for Mackie. If he don't want to do it, why should he have to do it? You know what I'm saying? He don't feel comfortable doing it. Why should he have to do it?
My thing is, why they never asked other white characters to do it?
Yeah.
Why they never asked Thor?
They got to make the Falcon why? Because he's a bird.
Make Thor gay.
He's a bird. They want to make him gay.
Make Thor gay.
I just like, to me, it's always trying to get rid of black masculinity. I don't understand why it's such an attack on Hollywood on that part. And I'm not getting into any gay characters. All gay Marvel characters. One of my homeboys, I think he might even draw one of the Marvel gay characters. I'm not against it. It's just like, why do when we have black masculinity, why is that always attacked?
Right.
Like, they don't ask any other like, even in movies, it's always that, man. I'm like,
look at how many black superheroes they are. It's limited.
It's
look
so
how many
limited.
White heroes there are, and you don't make none of them gay.
Mm-hmm.
That's just obvious to me.
You got all of this and keep the same energy. You know you kept drawing white superheroes all of them years. Just draw you a white gay one, man. Just, you know what I'm saying? Just leave us out of that for a little while, man. You know, yeah. Until you get up, yeah. Give up some more, then you can make one of them game, man.
Yo, leave him alone, is, man. Yeah. Leave him alone. He's the falcon. He's not the sparrow.
Hey, man, I like sparrows, man. Leave a sparrow alone, man.
You know,
God, I don't blame him. If people took it, didn't wait a minute. Didn't the guy in the shower walk off the show for the same thing?
Yeah. I mean, look, Dave Chappelle did the same thing. He never played, doesn't even want to be in a dress. Like, he says, why do we always got to be in a dress?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do we always have to be at a minstrel show? Like why do we have to be like those kind of things? Why do we always have to do that?
And no shade against anybody, gay.
No shade at all.
No shade. We got our own struggle. That's their struggle. We got our struggle that we still have to tend to.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Mackie don't identify with being gay, and there's nothing wrong with that. He don't identify, but he don't want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it.
You know? And people think and the thing is, because he also has to sell himself as being a sex symbol for women. Let's keep it a buck.
Correct.
That's what his career is going to run, because women love Anthony Mackie, right?
Correct.
You know, he does this. This shuts his career. Like, yo, he that's a whole demographic. Like, yo, I don't see you the same no more.
Correct.
Yeah. So he'll protect his career.
You're about to fuck up his brand.
He's gonna fuck up his brand. He gotta protect his brand.
Yeah, he nipped it in the bud. You know, he just nipped it in the bud early. But see, from what I'm saying, like, you know, with the gay thing, man, on one level, I understand, because they're so thirsty to see their own images. You know what I mean? Reflected. So I could get where they could kind of get excited and kind of inject things into it that maybe aren't there. You know, or hope. But, you know, but come on, man. You just, it's too much friction on that right now, you know? So that's just my thing, my thought on it. And I see that he definitely, you know, reflected the same thought process, man, that all of us have, or not all of us, but most of us have to see.
Speaking of black men, Carrie Hilson says she wants a black soulmate. Twitter responds. Thoughts on that?
That's good. I know she had some problems before, you know, welcome back. You know, a person can get smart later on and get it together, and maybe she's getting herself together.
Yeah, because she was messing up during this whole 2020 thing. She was saying some off-brand shit. I was like, whoa, sis, where you going with this one? But she said, but at least she wanna build a family with a black man. I'm not mad at that. Like, you know, keep the generational wealth going and everything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. She said some real good stuff, man. You know, which I definitely applaud. You know what I mean? So, you know, absolutely.
Yeah, she was on some All Lives Matter type of shit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she was talking up on it. You know, she was still, you know, code signaling or whatever you want to call it. Trying to get put on. You know, I understand that, you know, but, you know, I think, you know, after a while you wake up and you realize that it's not getting you nowhere, you might as well be you, be free, be who you are. And I think this is what she is.
Yeah, and I think people that responded, like, when somebody says that, like, every time we mention black, it's just like this outroar. Like, you know, TikTok, when you say certain things black, they put codes up and all these other things. Like, when you say anything black, they try to ban you. I mean, I think I'm on Facebook jail again. I think so. I think so. I said something against the Ku Klux Klan. I can't respond to certain people's things and stuff like that. So, but it's like, why do every time we got to say something, we always get. So, this sister said, I want a black man. I want somebody to look just like me.
Yeah, you know, what is that? Amazing, right? It's a revolutionary thought, you know, just us sticking together, you know what I mean? Just a black man and black woman being together. So,
it's kind of strange, maybe. Man. So, listen, Rodney, we're going to talk about some TV shows right here, man.
Come back to Eve. Come back to Eve. Eve back, right?
Tiger. So, Rodney, me and you watch this one TV show, The Chi, right? Yeah. I was big on The Chi. I was big on The Chi. But you woke my eyes up to something which I didn't see. I saw it, but I didn't see it.
Yeah.
In The Chi, they have a lot of male characters, but they're making them very submissive. Cool. And we can run down. If anybody watch The Chi, and Brandy, I want you to break down your thoughts and let people understand what you and I had, the conversation you and I had about The Chi.
I noticed that The Chi is going into direction, just like you said, that every male character in that show has to be submissive to a woman in some way, shape, or form. They dogging my man Emmett out. That dude is looking like,
oh man,
like, oh, he's just looking weak and simpish. He owns a business and they don't even respect him in there. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. And this is a guy that basically didn't even have his shit together. He gets his shit together and he's still shitting on him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I kind of noticed that that's the direction that they're going in, is that all the men have to be submissive. And then they have a black man with a transgender woman, and he's completely submissive to her.
He's a gangster.
And the thing is, that's what I was getting to. He's gangster on the street, and everybody knows he's with a transgender. That's, first of all, that's unrealistic. The guys on the street, they would kill him. They would be like, you can't come out here giving no orders.
I don't know, Rod. I don't know. These new dudes, they wear purses.
But they ain't gangster.
They wear purses, they butt out. I don't know. It's a little different nowadays, man.
Yeah, but I just watching the show, and I'm kind of picking on it that every black man in that show has to be submissive to a woman.
Yeah,
even in a same-sex marriage, the female that is more the dominant ones has to be submissive to the feminine female.
Oh, that's deep.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you're right.
You can't name anybody in there that's a male.
No, even the mayor.
He tried to do it, and he couldn't do it. Yeah, we were talking about it.
I said, on the character, the gangster guy has a brother, and the brother supposed to have been like this little young brother, I think in high school, and he was supposed to be against everything. But then Rob broke it down. He started submitting to the young lady. Yeah. I'm like, God. And the gangster mayor.
And he shitted on his homeboy and messed with his girl.
Facts.
Yeah.
Everybody, even the gangster mayor is about to submit to his.
And look who took over. Candy Burris.
Candy Burris. So it's crazy. Like, you know, I mean, I can dig it, but not to that degree. Like, come on. Like, realistic, that shit ain't going to really happen like that. Yo.
No, it's not going to happen like that.
Yeah.
With Kansas girl boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
He submitted to her.
He submitted me too.
Damn.
You can't think of a man in the shy that has not this season.
They made the men really weak.
They made all the men weak. Even Donnell, who's basically a super player.
Word.
He submitted to Lala by showing that she fucked her son. And he's still good with it.
Yeah, she said the same way TV movies like to emasculate black men, they want to make black women masculine, not feminine.
That is very true. That is very true. Yeah. They're not even making black women like soft. Like, not saying soft as being soft, but like just a being like feminine. And I think they try to make like strong.
They're not making the men strong. Like, even when Emmett excelled and got himself right, became a business owner, nothing. Still no respect.
No respect.
No respect. Word.
But one thing, next episode, they're going to go to the swinger club.
And the thing is, now, the thing is, what black man is going to consent with his wife to have an open marriage like that? I don't know of any black men that would consent to that.
I mean, it's some out there, because we had the poly people out there.
Well, they already was in it. They already agreed to it. But now, that's not the way their marriage. Most of those poly people, that relationship started off. They already knew what they were getting into.
Correct. You know what I'm saying?
But Emmett started off as marrying. Another thing too with Emmett, his guilt got the best of him to the point
that's
where
fake
he felt
as hell.
That's fake.
That's the most.
That's the part that made me stop watching the show. Yeah. I couldn't get past that. To this day, I can't get past that episode.
And no man gonna feel that guilty.
Man is going to admit to that, and nobody knew.
Word up.
Because once he was good with his father with it, there was no need to even speak on it. He wasn't even married to the girl when he slept with her. Fact. Yeah, she's around his girl, and he slept with her, but he wasn't continuing to sleep with her.
And this girl told him who she having sex with.
Yeah, that's right. But I'm going to tell you right now that I believe the guy's going to shit on her because he ain't got no respect for her. She's a married woman over there sleeping with him.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
He's going to shit on her. You'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't want to spoil it for people that didn't watch the show, but you got a little brief thing about what's going on with the show and stuff like that. And also, guys, what people want to know, Kelvin didn't just like disappear the show. Sam didn't fire him. We didn't kick him out. And he didn't have no company come over to that little hotel room he was in. Kelvin's nephew came in town from the Air Force. No, the Navy. Was it the Navy? Air Force. One of the military.
Air Force.
In the Air Force. And he had to step away because the visiting hours, so Kelvin had to make it. So we didn't kick Kelvin off the show. And none of the ugly girls from Corner Social or Ricardo's came and attacked him with the comments that he made. So I just want to say that.
And we want to clear up the rumors. He's not trying to negotiate a new contract with this show. You know what I'm saying? So because he's looking like he's trying to hold out. No, that's not the case. So we're not going to have those rumors floating around.
Well, everyone, thank you for tuning in again. Once again, please follow, like us, and subscribe on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. make comments. I know we probably gonna get some comments on this whole transgender thing like we did before, but we always welcome to all the good and bad, ugly, and we always respond to you guys. So thanks for coming out. Jamie, take us out. Peace, peace, peace. Y'all love you, brother.
Peace. See y'all.